good morning, my dear friends. And Claudio Galtieri, Advocacy Director for AARP Connecticut, our special guest. And this should be interesting, the upcoming session of the state legislature for the AARP.
Well, AARP obviously has a legislative agenda, too, and Claudio Galtieri joins us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Claudio, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad and Dan. How are you? You got me all hungry this morning talking about breakfast in Springfield. Good thing I already had my pancakes.
I gotta take him to breakfast, yeah.
All right, I'm in on that deal.
All right. Sounds
all
like
right, a... I'd like to go with... Oh, wow,
yeah,
all so, right.
Sounds like a plan.
So, Claudio, how do things look for you right now? What do you think?
So, you know, I'm an eternal optimist. So I was hopeful that we would start this year with a budget address and a budget proposal by the governor that valued our seniors, that saw seniors as a resource for the state, and tried to make it more affordable for our seniors to live and thrive in Connecticut. And I was disappointed to see yesterday the budget was released by the governor 2 days early. He's going to have a full address tomorrow. But it has some really disturbing trends, especially when you consider the impact on seniors. So, you know, the important thing to remember is that these cuts don't happen in a vacuum. And over the past few years, I know we've been talking about this when you were up at the Capitol last year and before that.
Yep.
It seems like year after year, you go after the same seniors, you know, the same programs that are impacting seniors. So you have closing of Category 1 of the home care program. Cuts after cuts to Alzheimer's respite care for family caregivers, slashing rental assistance, eliminating the Medicare savings program for 114,000 seniors in our state.
Unreal.
And, you know, and so when you see another round of cuts, you have to ask. And you know, this is a question that I'm urging all of our advocates for seniors to ask is, how much pain do seniors have to take? You know, they've paid in for their whole lives, and it's about time that we prioritize and recognize that there are a lot of costs when you're on Medicare and you're living on a fixed income. And if you suddenly pull out the rug from under them and ask them to pay more for health care, more for home care, more for their rent and basic essentials of life, you're forcing these seniors out, and you're forcing them to really diminish their quality of life. And that's something we can't stand for.
You know, Claudio, I know a gentleman, and his wife fell under this, and she was very cancer,
mm-hmm.
and had, I mean, just, it's hard to describe for me.
Yeah.
But again, this was just one, and when I saw him and talked with him, he just felt helpless. He said, there's nothing, he said, I'll pay for it, but they won't do this, they won't do that. And then it happened. Some of the Senate, some of the House, they got together. But then it didn't last long because he's at it again.
Yeah, just last week we
went in
and overrode and restored peace of mind for those seniors until January 1 and until July 1. And now here we go a couple days later, and we're back on the chopping block.
Also, Claudio, he is proposing the total elimination of the property tax credit for all ages.
You're right, and that goes to affordability. I mean, you're squeezing people who are living on fixed income. Just to give some context, the average Medicare beneficiary has about $26,000 a year in income. So when you take away, it may not sound like a lot, a $200 property tax credit or some programs that help afford Medicare and Medicare Part B premiums and prescription drugs or home care. But when it all adds up and you're trying to stretch $26,000 over the course of a year in a state like Connecticut, that's really hard to do.
So what would the AARPCT like to see the legislature do in this upcoming session?
So we proactively on the budget, we want to see an investment in home and community-based care. We think that that makes a lot of sense. Seniors want to age in place. Over the past 6 years, the cost of per person on the Connecticut home care program has gone down about 25%. So when you talk about a program that's maximizing the services to seniors, that's one, and we got to protect that. We've got to restore the Medicare savings program. It's not acceptable that 115,000 people in less than 6 months are going to be without of vital health care and prescription drug coverage. Unacceptable. And we also need to look proactively at things like money follows the person. This has been a huge success in Connecticut. And I do give credit to the governor on this because he, in his budget, the federal funding for money follows the person is going to start to ratchet down. And he recognizes that moving people out of a nursing home and back home, if they want to be there with the support of loving family members and friends, is the better way to go. So he actually allocates some state resources to keep that program going. And you'll remember when we started this, and it was our buddy from Waterbury there.
I remember.
Joe Stango was out in force trying to get that through. And we set a goal. We said, let's move 5,000 people back to the community. Never thought that we would break that. And you know what? This fiscal year, we're going to go over that and exceed it by about 150, 200 people. And so we need to keep investing in what we know works. That's a big message, I think.
Well, again, when you talk about the seniors, and you know, when you take a look, Claudio, at the population and the ages of the population in the state of Connecticut, you will be absolutely blown away. You'll never think that there's that many that are in that particular age bracket, but they are.
Fastest growing demographic in Connecticut.
That's right.
Are, you know, 65 plus, and we're actually one of the top states for 80 plus year olds, and we're going to keep regaining in that capacity.
So, Claudio, I'm hearing when it comes to the Medicare savings program that there's going to be a conversation during this session of means testing, whereby if you have some people who currently qualify under the program, if they own, for example, a lot of property, but their monthly income guidelines qualify them under the program, that they could be subjected to a means test. What are you hearing?
So, yeah, that's one of the conversations that's out here. The problem is that sometimes when we look at adding asset tests, I know some people that are house rich but very poor in terms of income. So they may have been fortunate to buy a house in a neighborhood that's gone up exponentially, and they have a lot of resources tapped into that house, but how much of that is really accessible and how much income do they have to support their quality of life? So we have to be very careful about any sort of trying to pigeonhole what type of need and who is more needy. So we have to be mindful of that. We don't want to leave someone who has very little income, very little resources, but they happen to be in a house that they've owned for a really long time, and because property value has gone up, they theoretically have money, but they can't always access it easily.
Well, again, these are some of the questions, but when you know, and I've met so many.
Yeah.
I really have a tough time. I do.
Brad, and you said another good point, is that sometimes for some of this stuff, like the Medicare savings, even if someone wanted to buy a supplemental insurance or something to kind of defray the cost of things that Medicare doesn't cover, it's not guaranteed they could get it. A lot of people who may have a chronic condition or disability can't even buy a Medicare supplemental insurance. So if they don't have Medicare savings, no matter how much money they have, because of their condition, they can't get. They have a pre-existing condition, they won't be able to get a Medicare supplemental plan. So that's a big barrier.
No question.
Claudio, what are you hearing as far as what the legislature might do in the area of property taxes? Obviously, there's talk the governor is proposing a cutback on municipal aid. That affects senior citizens when it comes to their property taxes at the local level. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that the governor had put forward is trying to figure out the implications of the federal tax bill on Connecticut, because we know property taxes in Connecticut tend to be higher than some of our average states. So there was some language, and he's starting a conversation about how do we get any property tax costs that seniors and other people in Connecticut pay to be tax deductible, so that they're not getting double tax, property taxes and then getting federally taxed on those costs. So there is some conversation about how we can create either a local charitable entity that people would pay into to support town services as a way to make it a charitable contribution instead of a property tax. But that's one of the driving factors that puts Connecticut in a real tough spot with the recently passed tax bill, is that we do rely heavily on property taxes. And the other thing is, in terms of the taxes, property taxes is one of the most regressive. It never goes away. It doesn't take into account how much resources someone has. So those costs keep going up and up. And for seniors trying to make ends meet, it's devastating.
Well, that's is our big plan here. There's no question is the seniors. And you know, because of the way things have gone over the last several years, this is the reason, Claudio, that we don't have young people living here. They don't want to live here. I mean, I hear it and see it, and this is one of the reasons that we really have to look at the whole picture, and the seniors are the ones that are catching it because they are staying here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you said it. Hartford can be picturesque. I mean, think about the development. We have so many natural,
tremendous
cultural entities. We have beautiful Connecticut River running through it. We really have to embrace that this can be the greatest thing. We don't need to be the next New York City. We can be the first Hartford, the first New Haven. We have so many tremendous assets, and I'd love for more people to understand the value of Connecticut and find a way to make it possible. It seems like if we just stop putting barriers up, the Connecticut can sell itself.
No question about that. So, Claudio, what do you think is going to get done? This is such a short session in the legislature from an AARP perspective, because there's a lot to tackle, and I know AARP has a legislative agenda. Mm-hmm. Do you think the legislature will get to all that's on AARP's agenda?
So I think some of it, that, you know, that's a good question. It is a budget year, so it's very short, very compact. The budget is going to impact a lot of what we do. But I think there will be some opportunity to do other things in the area. For one, on financial exploitation, some other states have come up with some great tools that help financial institutions and banks detect if a senior is getting taken advantage of, and set up a protocol so that we can stop that, so that someone's not scamming them out of their money and draining their life savings. You know, we can learn from states. There's vetted policies out there that can root out and start fighting back on elderly exploitation. We think there's some things that can be done around making sure to protect and try to bring down utility rates is always a big one for our seniors. And, you know, I think there's some proactive things that can be done to invest and keep growing some of the money follows the person things that we've done so well. But, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. I think the biggest thing is that we realize that none of this stuff ever ends. You know, like Brad said earlier, we fixed Medicare savings and it came back. So I think a lot of this will get hashed out in the election. So whatever doesn't get done in the regular session, I hope seniors and the things that seniors care about will be something that the candidates for governor and legislative leaders talk about.
Well, you know, you mentioned electricity rates, and that's got to be an issue with a lot of people, including our senior citizens.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Yeah. Again, those are those fixed costs. When you talk about property taxes, utility bills, food, rent, these are the things that, you know, your money may not go up, your income doesn't go up, but those costs surely are. And how do you... Where do you squeeze water from when there's just nowhere more to go?
That's right.
So,
well, Claudio, it's always great to come by and see us anytime. You have a lot of good, interesting information, and certainly it covers a great deal of the folks who listen to us, and you have some really good stuff, too.
All right. Thank you, guys. Hope to see you up at the Capitol sometime soon.
You bet, Claudio. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.